Good morning, dear church.
Good morning.
We're going to read two small passages from the Bible, and that's Matthew chapter 5. That's page 968. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Another passage is going to be from James. So that's James chapter 4. James chapter 4, the page is 1215, verses 8 to 10. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dimitri, for bringing that short reading for us. On our series of hearing the Master's voice, this morning, there is a good news for the mourners. And that's what Dimitri was reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Life is full of paradoxes. What is a paradox? According to the encyclopedia, a paradox is an apparently self-contradictory statement whose underlying meaning is revealed only by careful scrutiny. Its purpose is to arrest attention and provoke fresh thought, as in the statement, less is more. Bible has lots of paradoxes. Here are a few examples. We are exalted when we humble ourselves. We are strong when we are weak. We receive when we give. We find freedom when we serve others. We gain when we lose. We live when we die. This brings us to the paradox, what we read in Matthew 5:44. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I would say this particular verse has a paradox, but it is a complex and interweaving and more than one paradox in that. In Good News Translation, if you read the same verse, it says, happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This can be read as, happy are those who are unhappy, for they will be comforted. Happy or unhappy? Wonderful paradox. And coming to this second part of the same verse, mourning will bring comfort. We do not normally associate mourning with comfort. Does mourning brings comfort? Mourning, in fact, brings discomfort. And in general, we do associate comforting words with comfort. We do normally believe money brings comfort, friendship brings comfort, sitting on your favorite chair, by the radiator on the cold Dennis weather like that, and having a cup of cappuccino. Few can understand here. And reading a good novel will bring comfort. Mourning does not bring comfort. But Jesus says here, people, those who mourn, will be comforted. So what is mourning? Mourning is an expression of deep sadness. There are about 9 different Greek words used to describe either about sorrow or sadness. And this particular word, mourning, in chapter 5:4, has a specific word called pentheo, from Greek word, and this refers the strongest of sadness of all those 9 words used in the New Testament. In other words, the person who mourns in chapter 5, verse 4, is really, really, really saddened. When was the last time we mourned? Perhaps this morning, yeah. Perhaps this morning, when our hair was not set as we wished, or mourning because the husbands are not paying attention to what we say. It's a truth and it cannot be changed. Or mourning when we see the wife as a non-stop talker. Good news for the men. Jesus is not mentioning about these daily discomforts or this sadness or upset as a mourning in 5:4. Maybe we can elevate our thoughts a little bit above for mourning. Some mourn for their children's future. Some mourn for their wonderful boss or lovely colleagues in the workplace. Jesus is not again mentioning here about these daily disheartenedness as a mourning in this 5:4. There are humpty of things to mourn about. We mourn for everything. We mourn always seeing the half-empty glass, and we mourn for it. Have you heard about the Christian mourning? A grandmother took a granddaughter to a zoo. They had a wonderful time. At the end of the day, the granny asked the little girl, "How did you feel about the day?" And the girl replied, "It was wonderful. All the animals were cheerful, and I was really received joy, and I was filled up with joy." And the girl said, "But I am upset about one of those animals, the horses." And she told her nanny, "Why, nanny, the horses are like that? Are they Christians?" And the nanny replied, "Why did you say so?" And the girl said, "They had long faces." You might have experienced some Christians, if you see that, they will be always quiet, very sad. And when you go and ask why you are like that, is everything going well? They would say, like, "I am a Christian. I need to be quiet. I need to be so that modesty in my look, I'll be like that." It's up to them. And some mourn on their own theological understanding. They would say, "I mourn for Christ who was crucified on the cross." I believe they have not turned the page to read about his glorious resurrection. So Jesus is not mentioning about all these depressions or unhappy or sadness that we face through this world as mourning in this verse 5:4. And some really mourn for a deep saddening thing happens in their life, like the loss of the loved ones, or a prolonging health disease, or the loss the world brought to them. By God's grace, they need to be comforted and encouraged. Absolutely, there is no denial in that. But Jesus is not mentioning about these mournings in 5:4. He is mentioning about the spiritual mourning. It makes sense in the light of the context of the Beatitudes when we read it. The first Beatitude is about the poverty in spirit. It is not referring to any materialistic poverty. It was mentioning about the spiritual poverty. Likewise, in this verse 5:4, the mourning is not referring to any loss of something like a physical mourning. It is about the spiritual mourning. We, the disciples of Christ, are called by Jesus himself to resonate our thoughts with the kingdom values, lifting our thoughts and our attitudes about the kingdom aspects. Not chewing or mulling over with the difficulties that are around us, but developing ourselves the attribute or the characteristic a citizen of heaven should have. What is spiritual mourning? Does Jesus ask us to weep and wail while we pray? Or is this spiritual mourning refers to something like in the Old Testament, people would do, like they threw ashes over their heads and they tore their clothes and mourned for weeks and months. Is that what he is referring here about the spiritual mourning? No. He is referring about the mourning for our own sins. Mourning for the sins of the others, for the sins of the world. When was the last time we mourned for our own sins? The best place to start answering this question is first to admit that we do commit sins. We are all sinners. None of us are perfect. We are all fallen short of His glory. If someone believes that they are spiritually matured or they do not do any sin against Him, then they are in a dangerous position. And something requires like a spiritual therapy. How can we cultivate our spiritual mourning? How can we cultivate to mourn for our own sins? To look unto Jesus by focusing on the cross, by sitting ourselves in a quiet time at His feet, by reading His word, by reading spiritual books about the cross. We don't mourn by beating ourselves by whips, like still some Eastern Orthodox believers do that. And we do not cut ourselves by knives, or we do not do something else to atone for our own sins. Rather, we mourn by examining ourselves in the light of the Spirit. When we get closer and closer to the light of the Spirit, we get to know clearer and clearer about the darkness, the sins in our lives. In that light of the Spirit, our soul cries out unto the Lord, Lord, I have gossiped today again. Lord, I have shown anger to my wife. Lord, I have not set a good role model for my children. Lord, I have sinned against your glory. Lord, I am a wretched. I come before you, Lord, as I am, and asking for your forgiveness. Yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Those kind of prayers or those kind of reflections need to be there every day in our life. Do we examine ourselves every morning when we start the day? Lord, I am going to live the day for the glory of your name. I am weak. You are strong. Come with me, Lord. Help me not to do the sin what I was doing yesterday. Not to do the same mistakes I was doing last month. Help me, Lord, to improve my spiritual level. And I want to come before you with boldness in approach. Thank you, Lord, for washing my sins away. James, in chapter 4, he was reflecting similar what was mentioned in Matthew 5:4. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So Jesus is mentioning here, if we mourn for our own sins, he says that we are all blessed people. We have identified that something is going wrong in us. So he calls us, blessed are you when you mourn for your own sins. And he gives an extra reward that you will be comforted. The comfort is what the forgiveness he gives us. I will give you forgiveness and you will be comforted. When was the last time we mourned for the sins of the others? For this, firstly, we need to have a heart filled with God's love and compassion in ourselves over other people's life. Unless we have our Savior's love in us, we cannot love others in the same way as He is loving us. When we see other people sinning, it should cause us to mourn. Not in a self-righteous way, saying that I am better than him or I am better than her. Not in a selfish way, saying that I didn't do that sin, he did that, let him face God. Not like that. Mourning really, when seeing our fellow believers or brothers and sisters in Christ do sins, do we mourn really for them? Do we get upset when we see something bad is happening in other people's life? Have we lifted them gently from the difficulties they have been caught? That was Savior's love. Mourning for the sins of the others. Seeing that our own fellow believers are ruining their life with sins. That is that we need to do it, but we need to do it in a very gentle way. Not saying that, hey, you are a sinner. We can't go and tell that. We are all sinners. Helping one another. Equipping them. Comforting them. See, I walked through the same path. I can understand you. I will help you. That is the way the congregation should work together. Just elevate our thoughts to the world of the worldly sins. We read in the news daily about some injustice, child abuse, war, exploitation, racism. We read that. Our hearts mourn for it. Our hearts mourn seeing the effect of the sins. And we say that, Lord, your creation has been destroyed here. Your name has been dishonored here. So I mourn for it. We need to mourn for that. But furthermore, we need to mourn for the people, those who have not experienced the universal flourishing, the grace given by Jesus Christ, have not been experienced by those people because of their sins. That mourning should be in us. I am enjoying Christ in my life. I know there is a freedom for me. When I go to Him anytime, asking for forgiveness, He is ready to provide. But my friend up there in the end of the street have not known Jesus. Caught up with crime. How am I going to help them? That is mourning for the sins of the world. We need to be very clear here. Some people, when they mourn for their sins or the sins of the world, it might be a reflection, emotional response, because of their deeper distressness for the sins they committed. We are not mourning because we are caught up. We are not mourning because we are embarrassed. We are not mourning because the sins we have committed have the painful and the drastic consequences. We are mourning because we realize that the sin we have done is against our Savior. We are mourning because the sins have taken us away from glorifying God. We are mourning because we realize that we have dishonored God's name. We should have that understanding between ourselves. I want to bring you the scene of Jesus walking towards Golgotha. He was taking up his cross and he was walking. On his way to Golgotha, a large crowd was following him, including women and children. They were all weeping and wailing for Jesus. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. I will say, in some way or other, we are all responsible for people, those who are not attending churches, who were once believers. If you go and ask them, their answers would be mostly like that. I was deeply wounded. I was deeply hurted by the church I was attending before, by the Christians I have faced, by the church minister, by the church congregation, by my Christian friends." You would hear that. Somewhere we missed to share Jesus' love with the people. Do we not mourn when a girl of our own daughter's age come and tell us that I have become a lesbian? What do we do? Do we say that my daughter is in a perfect protective environment? I mourn for her. Do we do that? Do we mourn? Do we not mourn? When we see a boy of our own son's age coming and telling us, "I am involved in the gang culture." Somewhere we are responsible. The church is responsible. The Christians are responsible for someone walking up on the street, young teenager, saying that I have transgendered today from a male to female. We are responsible. Somewhere we have not shared the message of Jesus' love and grace, how to live our life on this earth, depending on Christ, what God has taught us, what we are transferring to them. So we are responsible. If we see the mess around the world, we are responsible. So our hearts should mourn for it. We should mourn with weeping and wailing. When we call for the prayer meeting for people to pray for the youngsters, their future generation, we are all going to gather together and pray for them. The attendance is very poor. We are not mourning. Truly, we are not mourning. We should come together, pour out our tears. Lord, yes, Lord, by grace, my son and my daughter are in a good place. I agree that. I thank you for that. What about those children living there, offering their lives for the gun culture, gun shooting in Croydon? Knife stabbing has increased everywhere. Where are we now? Are we mourning for them? If we mourn, if we pray, the prayer answering God will answer our prayers. Jesus knows that. And that's why Jesus said 2,000 years ago, he was relating to this time and age of culture. And he said, you ladies, you don't weep for me. I know where I am going. I have come to accomplish the mission. I am going to accomplish soon on the Calvary, in the cross. So you don't worry about me. Don't mourn for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your own children. Weep for the future generation. It is into your hands. You weep and pray. Jesus has told very briefly in a simple sentence, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. When we mourn for our own sins, Lord, I am a sinner. I stand before you. I ask for your grace. Forgive me, Lord. Help me not to do that again. And I mourn for someone I don't know in the other part of the world. That is the mourning. But he assures there is a blessing. We are all called blessed in that way, because our attributes and characters are about kingdom values, spiritual mourning. And he says, you all will be comforted. The comforting days are coming soon. I will give you forgiveness. I will comfort your souls. What a wonderful phrase it is. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Shall we say this Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The first part of the Lord's Prayer is about exalting God. It's about glorifying God. Saying that, Lord, let your kingdom come down on this earth. Let your will and let your purposes be made on this earth. Good prayer. Lord Jesus himself has asked us to pray. Have we done anything for that? For his kingdom purpose to establish on this earth? To have that experience of heavenly atmosphere around us? What the Christians have done? The second part, the last part, is about our own sins. Lord, forgive my sins. Help us, Lord, to forgive other people who are sinning against me. And Lord, help me not to do any sin because of the temptations the world bring at me. Or deliver me from all those sins I have been caught up. All about our own personal sins. He has beautifully structured the Lord's Prayer. Mourning for our own sins. Mourning for the sins of the others. Mourning for the sins of the world. This morning, God has asked ashes, for sure, to meditate on this verse. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Are we ready to mourn for our own sins? If at all something is blocking us, saying to us, you are perfect, you didn't do any sin, why should you mourn? We need to drive that spirit away. We are all sinners. None of us are perfect. And are we ready to mourn for the things that are happening around the world? Is it piercing our hearts? Is it cutting through our souls? Are we going to mourn for others? Are we going to do anything to the community? What steps, Lord, I can take for you? Just 1 minute in quietness, you reflect yourself for the sins of us and the sins of the world.